Welcome to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in their lives. And it's a place where your questions about faith and religion can be answered. And now, here's your host, Deacon Al.
Thank you, John, and welcome back to Good News. I am Deacon Al, permanent deacon of the Peoria Diocese, and it's always a pleasure to spend Saturday and Sunday evenings with you here on Catholic Spirit Radio. It's been a few days since I've been here at the station. The last time we were together was for Carathon, which was just a short time ago. I want to thank everyone who donated to Catholic Spirit Radio. Carathon was a huge success. And we look forward to doing great things with the money that was raised. We've got some great changes coming up with the station. You've heard about the new antenna that will be going up soon in Rockford, and we've gotten much, much closer to that goal thanks to all your support during Carathon. It's never too late to support the radio station. If God moves you to add us to your list of benefactors for your time, talents, and resources, we certainly appreciate it. We appreciate all your prayers as well that the ministry of Catholic Spirit Radio should continue. Thanks to Debbie Giorgiani and all of the voices from EWTN that you heard during our three-day broadcast. It was so kind of so many of the members of EWTN to call in to the station and talk to us about the importance of Catholic radio and how it changes people's lives. And hopefully it's brought about a positive change in your life. I want to remind you that besides the great programming that we have, our local programming and our programming from EWTN, we've got a lot going on at our website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com or .org. Either one, I think, gets you there. And there's just so much at that website. If you're wondering where masses are held, anywhere in our listening area, you can find it at our website. You can find out when confessions are available, adoration, special events. For instance, some of you, hopefully a lot of you, enjoyed our program at Holy Trinity Church this weekend with Dr. Hahn and Dr. Bergsma, who were speaking. We had a wonderful turnout. I mean, my gosh, hundreds and hundreds of people. I believe we broke 500. So that was probably one of the largest events that we've had at Holy Trinity in a long, long time. And we look forward to having more events of that quality in the near future. Thanks to the many volunteers who were at work to make this event take place. I think close to 50 volunteers from our parishes turned out to help with not only physical arrangements and food, but parking, hospitality, so many things involved in putting on an event of this size, but it went beautifully, and we thank everyone who enjoyed it. There's going to be some more news coming up. If you weren't able to be with us for Saturday's event, it was videoed, and there will be an opportunity for people to watch the video presentations, even though they couldn't make the live ones. And there were a few people, unfortunately, we weren't able to provide daycare. And we had some young people call who would have loved to have been there if we had daycare, but it's just, there was only so much physical space in the church and we couldn't do it. But it's something we're considering for future events. Maybe there's something we can work out. So we'll certainly keep that feedback in mind. But there will be opportunities for you to still hear their presentations, even though you weren't able to attend on Saturday. So you can find out about events like this going on all through our listening area by going to our website, CatholicSpiritRadio.com, and look it up there. We've got podcasts from our past shows, like I say, calendar events. It's chock full with information. So please take time to go to our website. And if you need prayers, if you have something going on in your life that you need some intercessory prayers, we invite you to tell us what your prayer need is, and we will be happy to turn our prayer warriors loose on it here at the station and include you in our prayers as we ask you to include us in your prayers. So that's just some of the things going on. It's spring. It's still Easter. Happy Easter, everyone. We're into the fourth Sunday of Easter, and we've got a few more to go. And people wonder, well, how can this still be Easter Sunday? Well, Easter is a really, really important event in our faith. And so it's not something that you can just do in a day and be all encompassing. It takes a while to really get that Easter message across. And so we have Easter all the way up until Pentecost, which is still weeks away. So happy Easter. Even though it was a few Sundays ago, we still celebrate it here in the Catholic Church. And we've got our readings. We'll be going through in just a few minutes to look at our readings from this weekend's Mass. And I hope you'll enjoy that. And we'll be able to eke out some good information from those. But it's spring and things are growing. Things are sprouting. My gardens, oh my gosh, every morning I walk out, there's more stuff has come up. And I just love that. It's so great to see that. And it reminds me so much of our faith, which is always growing. And there's always something new sprouting. And there's always new people coming to the faith. We had four men got confirmed this last Easter into the Catholic faith, into our parish. And throughout the country, hundreds and hundreds of people entered the Catholic faith. And it's so wonderful to see people come home. And part of that is going to be talked about in our readings today. We'll see that in the letters from Peter as well. So think about this as a time of growing, a time to see new life in the church, new life in ourselves as we take advantage of the sacraments that Christ has left us. This is a great time of year. If you didn't get a chance to go to confession just prior to Easter, go now. It's a great time to lay down new soil to grow in. And you can do that through the graces of confession. Come back to the Mass. We're seeing a lot of growth in attendance at Mass right now, which is just really so exciting. I can't tell you how fun it is to see more families, more young people. Parents, I get it. I understand where you're coming from. Parents for years now, for about 3 years, have been very hesitant to bring their children into crowds. I mean, you were schooling at home for the most part, or only going to school partial days. We had all the masking going on, all the times where we kept ourselves away from crowds and from people. But that's all starting to lessen. And we're seeing more and more people come to Mass, and especially more and more families. And just this last weekend, I had the great privilege of baptizing a 9-day-old infant. And I was just, I was so amazed to see that a parent is now trusting the environment enough to bring a 9-day-old out, you know, into public. And we had a beautiful baptism for Peter Francis. So Peter, if you're listening, congratulations on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Welcome to the world as a child of Christ. I love doing baptisms. I don't know any priest or deacon that doesn't really enjoy baptisms. The being part of taking a young person, or even an old person, in the case of some of our some of the people who have come late in life to the Catholic faith. It is just such a thrill to help someone become a child of God. It's hard to explain. But if you're a parent who've been through a baptism with your child, you know how special it is. And I have to say, my record is still clean. Peter Francis did not cry until the last pour of water. He did really, really, really good. He was crying a lot when he showed up, and I went over and had a little talk with him while his mom held him. And I said, Peter, this is a big day. This is a really important day for you. You're going to meet God today. And he turned from his mother and he looked at me, he got this big grin on his face, and he started to giggle. And it was so cool. Everybody around us was, ah! You know, it was just this ah moment. And he settled down for a long time, and we got through 2/3 of the baptism without any crying. So I've now gotten to baptize dozens of children, and no one has cried through the baptism. As soon as I lean them over the font and we start to say the words of baptism, that I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, this calm comes over the child. And I mean, really little children. And they, I tell you, they know what's going on. They have a sense of what's happening, and they get this great smile on their faces. And it's just beautiful to see. So this last weekend, we got to baptize Peter Francis. And so hopefully many more baptisms on the way. If you have a small child, don't keep them at home on Sunday. Bring them to Mass. That's where the community of the faithful is, and your children belong as part of that community. Bring them up front. That's the key. If you're afraid that your child is going to fuss and be irritable, the secret is to bring them to the front of the congregation, not to the back. Let them see people. Let them see the vestments, the colors. Let them see the reflection off the vessels. Let them see the comings and goings of the cantor and the lector. And that keeps them enthralled in what's going on. You take them to the back of the congregation and expect them to sit still for an hour staring at a stranger's back. That just doesn't work. Bring them up. And you know what? If they fuss a little bit, that's okay. It's the sounds of life. A church without a crying child in it is a dying church. So we love the sounds of life at our churches. So bring your kids in, let them fuss a little. That's okay. If you really feel you need to step outside, go ahead. No one's gonna worry about that. And somebody says, "Well, the people around me give me the stink eye." You know, they get a little upset. That's why we have confessionals. Not for your child, for the people that are going to give a child the stink eye. That's what we have confessionals for. They're the ones who need to say, you know, I behaved badly at church. There was a young family there, and I thought badly of an innocent child who's just being a child. You know, they outgrow it. Believe me, my son's 34. He quit fussing and crying at church, gosh, probably 6 or 8 years ago. So they eventually all outgrow it. Come back to the Mass. We miss you, and you should miss the Mass. It's a beautiful liturgy, and it's a learning moment, and it's a healing time for us. We unburden ourselves of our venial sins at Mass, and we get forgiveness for those venial sins at Mass, and we have the chance to be in personal communion with Christ. Don't stay away from that. We need you at the Mass, and you need to be at the Mass. So let's fill our churches again. They're getting better. They're not as sparse as they've been during COVID. So they are improving, but we can do better. We can have the seats full again, and I look forward to that. It wasn't that long ago where we could walk into a church that held 500, 600, 700 people and see 500, 600, 700 people in it, and we would love to see you there again. So if you are coming, God bless you. If you're not coming, God wants you. So we'll see you back at the Mass. Want to remind you, you can be a part of the show of Good News. If you have a question that you would like answered about your Catholic faith or just Christianity in general, you can write to us at our email, which is goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com, and we would be more than happy to answer your questions on the air. We've gotten some great ones in the past. We're hoping to have more great ones in the future, but it's your chance to be part of the program. Would be to write in and tell us what you're thinking. It doesn't have to be a question about something you agree with. It could be something about the faith you disagree with, or just plain don't understand. I've had a question lately about free will, and hopefully we'll have time towards the end of this half of the program to talk about that, because it's greatly misunderstood. We've mentioned it before, but it's still something that a lot of people, especially non-Catholics, have a different understanding of what free will is. And it really confuses the logic of how free will is used. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But let's look at our readings from the Mass this weekend. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles. The second reading is a letter from Peter. And we'll be hearing a lot from Peter for the next several weeks. And then our gospel reading is from John. And again, we've been into John for several weeks as well, and we'll be hearing from John for a little while more. So let's start with the reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And this, again, involves Peter, even though he's not the writer of this. This, of course, comes from Luke. Luke writes, "Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and proclaimed, 'Let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified.' Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked Peter and the other apostles, 'What are we to do, my brothers?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call.' He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accept this message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day." The word of the Lord. So I think it's good with this reading that we stop and take a look, ask some questions about it. First of all, where were they when this happened? We've recently heard about Peter being in front of the Pharisees and having to defend himself and his public preaching. But now he's somewhere where he stands up in a crowd and says, "You did this. You have sinned." And this crowd didn't tear their garments and shout blasphemies about Peter. Instead, they said, "How do we fix this? What do we do?" So he's obviously talking to a different crowd. So Peter right now and the apostles are in the Jerusalem / Capernaum area, and they're doing what Jesus did. They're doing public ministry, public preaching. So they're on a hillside or out in a field somewhere, surrounded by people who want to know what's going on, because this crucifixion that has happened, this resurrection, this is big news. And people are now wondering, so what happened that caused all this? So they searched out the apostles, once the apostles have now gone back out into the public, and they said, "Tell us more about who this was. Why did all this commotion happen?" So Peter tells them, just point blank, this was the Son of God. This was the Messiah. And you stood there and said, "Crucify him." You were the people who egged on the Pharisees and egged on Pilate and said, "Crucify him." And so here's who you crucified, was the Messiah that you've been calling for, was here, and you killed him. And now, through the force of the Holy Spirit and the effectiveness of the ministry of the apostles, people are starting to become aware of just who Jesus was and what they've done. And they said, "How do we fix this? You know, we did something really awful. How do we fix this?" And I think Peter's response is really a thing of great mercy and great generosity and great beauty. He didn't chastise them. Once they realized their errors, he said, "Here's how we heal this. Here's how you heal yourself and your relationship with God. And it's pretty easy. Repent and be baptized. Rather than become a prosecutor of Jesus, become a follower of Jesus." And he said, not only can you do this, but anyone, and he means not only the Jewish population that he's talking to, but even the Gentiles, anyone who wants to turn and follow Jesus is welcome to do that. In fact, not only all the people now, you and everyone you know, but everyone in the future can do this as well. So Peter's talking to us as well. What do we do when we realize in our day and time that we've been misled? And we have been. We're being misled every day. It's not hard to see that through the look at the media, look at what our society teaches us about what is best for us. They're not saying that that God is best. They're not saying that that following the virtues of Christ is best. They're saying money's best, authority is best, possessions are the best. And that's the Pharisees of Peter's time. And he's saying you don't have to, once you realize that error, you don't have to continue following that lead. You can now come back and follow the lead of Christ. And all it takes is repentance and baptism, and Christ forgives you. So no matter where you are in your faith journey, or more your faithless journey, don't ever feel that you're too far away from Christ to turn back to him. Peter says that Christ is telling us it's never too late, that all it requires is your change of heart and baptism. And that's available throughout the Christian world, but especially through the Catholic world. Our second reading is, again, Peter, and he writes this beautiful letter. He says, "Beloved, if you are patient when you suffer for doing what is good, this is a grace before God. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he returned no insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he handed himself over to the one who judges justly." And he's referring to handed himself over to his Father. "He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you had gone astray like sheep, but you have now returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls." What generosity and what mercy Peter shows through the words of Christ to not only the people of his time, but to all of us, saying that once you become aware of what Christ did, how much he loved you, that he was willing to, even though he did nothing wrong, he was willing to pay the price of our sins. His punishment was for what we did wrong and what we continue to do wrong, not for anything he did wrong. And he accepted that suffering. And believe me, read the scripture, read the level of suffering that the passion entails. This was so horrendous. And remember that Jesus was fully human. Yes, he was fully God, but he was also fully human. He felt and experienced everything we experience in the way of joy and love and pain and sorrow. And so he felt every bit of the lashes of the scourging. He felt every bit of that thorn crown being pressed through his scalp. He felt every bit of the nails penetrating his hands, of his lungs constricting while he hung on the cross. He went through this unbearable suffering without any complaint and without any repercussions against those who did this to him. He forgave them. He offered them mercy, even though they showed him none. And he offers that same mercy to us. When we suffer, we share in Christ's suffering. We're not being picked on by God, by Jesus. We're given the opportunity to see how strong we are and how much God loves us by saying, "I survived through all of this. You can accept a little bit of suffering on my behalf and come out even stronger and even in closer relationship with me because of the little suffering that you endure." And I know when you're in the thickness of that pain and that sorrow, it's hard to understand that it's survivable. But it is through the strength of Christ, because he suffered more than we ever will. No one will ever bring upon us the kind of pain and inflict the kinds of contemptuousness that Christ received will never be inflicted on us, no matter how many trials we go through. So this letter is a great gift to say that Christ is with us through it all, and that no matter what we're faced with, we can face it with the strength of Christ, because he suffered more for us than we will ever suffer for him. It's time to return to the shepherd, to the guardian of our souls. Finally, the gospel from John. And remember, John's gospel is very different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke's. John's whole purpose of his gospel is to give evidence to the divinity of Christ, where the others are telling about the miracles of Christ, they're telling about his life and his passion and resurrection. But what John really wants you to understand is that this wasn't just a good man. This wasn't just a good prophet or a good minister. This was the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God, God himself incarnate. And that's the whole thrust of John's message. So John writes, Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven them out, all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And that's the great difference between Jesus and the Pharisees who convicted him. The Pharisees preached a false doctrine. The Pharisees' preaching was all about the letter of the law. If you do what we tell you to do, you will be saved. Well, that's a pretty easy thing to disprove. And John does it in other parts of his writings, in that Abraham didn't have the laws of Moses, and yet Abraham is the father of all the faiths that follow God. I mean, he's the great earthly father of our faith. He had faith in God and accepted the fullness of God before anyone else did. And he did it without the Mosaic laws. He did it strictly through faith. We come to salvation through faith, not through the fine detail, the triviata of the 613 Mosaic laws. And this is where the Pharisees went wrong. They said, "Do what we tell you to do, and God will save you." And Jesus says, "Love God, and you'll be saved." That's that great abundance he talks about. He's not here to steal and slaughter and destroy. The Pharisees' faith was a very negative faith, a very controlling faith. And Christ comes and gives a very different message, a very different ministry, and says, "You come to God through love. I come to you through God's love, through my love for you. You come to God through your love. You come to God only through me. Any other way is false. Any other way is to lead you astray." And again, we see that. This goes back to what we've talked about just moments ago. That's what our society teaches us. They're the false gates. Follow us and we'll lead you to happiness. There's only one way to happiness. There's only one way to real joy. Well, there's lots of ways to profit. There's lots of ways to pleasure. But pleasure and joy are not the same. pleasure is fleeting and joy is sustaining. And Jesus invites you to a life of joy through him, the true gate. What is your relationship with Christ today? And know that you can change that into a relationship with Christ tomorrow. All you have to do is make the choice. This is Deacon Al on Catholic Spirit Radio, bringing you good news. And we'll talk to you again next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio, a program for teens and almost teens to better understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is relevant in your life. Submit your questions to Deacon Al at goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. That's goodnews@catholicspiritradio.com. Deacon will answer your questions about faith and religion. Thank you for listening to Good News on Catholic Spirit Radio.